Exodus 13, 1 to 16. The ordinances. In this discourse, I want to look at the ordinances as God sets them out for the Hebrews here. We're really looking at the establishment of the Old Covenant and the features of this covenant, as we shall see, law, ceremony. And this comes out very fully here in this passage. In this first discourse on this passage, I want to look at the ordinances themselves. In the next discourse, I hope to come back and to them and show some of the purpose behind it. But first of all, let's just look at the ordinance. The first thing to say is that what we have here are the ordinances of the Old Covenant, and therefore they are symbols, shadows, of the reality that will be established by Christ. I say will be, that's future here, but has been established by Christ in the New Covenant. We're talking about the Passover. Not simply the first Passover, but the annual Passover now, and the perpetual Passover. Verse 5, it's got to be annual. You are to observe this ceremony in this month, the month of Abib, and that's every year. But verse 10, you must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. So they are to celebrate the Passover. They themselves are to remember that original deliverance in the Exodus. Now, this was a very real thing for the Hebrews. But the shadow, and that's what it is, leads to the reality. And the reality is that the Passover is Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 5, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And we've looked already at the conditions for people to partake of this Passover, to be in Christ, therefore, in the reality. And it was circumcision. Now that is not baptism. That is not infant baptism. That is regeneration. To be in Christ, a man or a woman must be regenerate and therefore brought to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's spiritual baptism. For those like covenant theologians, Presbyterians and others, who take this to be a symbol, a shadow of infant baptism, they have to fight tooth and nail to hold off baptismal regeneration. In fact, I'm convinced that it leads inevitably to baptismal regeneration. And whatever the metaphysics and the subtleties of the confessions, my own experience is that many people, and not that I've known huge numbers of covenant theologians in practice with baptism, but what I can see of it and what I can read of it, the hoi polloi, as it were, the man in the font, the man and the woman at the font with the baby in their arms, they really do think something has happened to that baby, and baptismal regeneration of some form or another has gone on. No, no. The Passover is Christ, and the circumcision, which was essential, is regeneration by the Spirit of God. Ezekiel 36, the new heart, the new mind, the new will, the new creation. And then, of course, another shadow was the land, verses 5 and 11. All these, as I say, were shadows, real to Hebrews, but illustrations, symbols, shadows of the glorious reality in Christ. And then we get the fact that the consecration of the firstborn. We know that the firstborn of the Hebrews, their children, those firstborn were passed over in the vengeance, verse 12. And they have to be given over to the Lord. That's what we read in verse 12. They were passed over. That's what the Passover means. They were delivered. But they are devoted to the Lord. So the firstborn in every Hebrew family was specially dedicated to God. Consecrated, dedicated to God. Verse 2, the firstborn of every womb, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. The animals were sacrificed. The humans were redeemed. They belong to God. Consecrated to God. Thirdly, we have the unleavened bread. That's essential, verses 3 and then 6 to 10. The Hebrews had to eat unleavened bread. Now, these are all shadows and pictures, and they're all symbols which have reality in Christ. They're real for the Hebrews, but the full meaning of these things is not found in infant baptism and association with visible churches and all that kind of nonsense. It's being in Christ. What do we learn from all this? Well, the Hebrews are clearly under law now and under command. Indeed, the word law is mentioned in verse 9. We're getting close to it now. We've come from Ramses. We've gone to Succoth. It won't be long before we're at Sinai. And all the pieces are now falling into place. We're in the era now of law and command. Read this passage again, 13:1-16. You must do that. You are to do that. There must be none of this. It's all exact. It's precise. The dates are given. This observance. And I see again in verse 10, ordinance. And that's what I've called this discourse, the ordinances. The first part of it. God has ordained this. He's commanded it. We're in the realm of covenant, ceremony, law. We're moving now in the history of redemption through covenants, through the Abrahamic covenant, and now we're entering into the Mosaic covenant. And this is a massive step now in the history of this revelation of redemption through covenants. And that's all leading up, as the centuries pass, to the glorious new covenant in Christ. This is the place this occupies in Scripture. And so although to us it's just a historical document now, looking back into this passage, because it's all been abolished in Christ, because it's all been fulfilled by him, nevertheless, we're seeing the next layer, as it were, the next course in the building of this great history of redemption through covenants. And God is taking these Hebrews out of Egypt into Canaan under his covenant. These are just, as it were, dry facts for us, brother and sister, although we shall see some lessons from them, I hope, in the next discourse. But we too are under the word of God, and he governs us, and he guides us, and we must submit to his counsel and obey him in his word. We also must be very careful in the way we apply the shadows and see the fulfillment. Let the apostles teach us, and they do not teach us infant baptism. They do not teach us that these covenants are all one and the same. Here we're in clearly different covenant. This is law ceremony. Abraham was a covenant, a promise. Of course, there's some continuity between these covenants, but there's a next step here. There is a great discontinuity. The promise covenant is now moving on to the covenant of law. That's what I see here in Exodus 13:1-6, in the ordinances.